And she used to do that. And she used to go to the synagogue and make the fire that on Shabbos day in the cold, the Jews should be warm. She used to be the one who lights up the ovens. Well, it seems that she got in an argument with her boss and she ran away and she disappeared and she never came back and nobody knows where she is. And that's all. What's a big deal? Some lady who works by the Jewish family runs away. She got an argument. That's what people were talking about, that they didn't know where to find her. And all of a sudden, Tadas gets this big smile on his face. Hey, this is my lucky day. It would have been more lucky if I had my good meat instead of the shoes. But now I got some good news. Better than the meat, which is not going to taste like shoes, Tadas got some good news. This is perfect. Perfect trouble. Now let me think. Okay. Tadas now, who wants to go? Now of course we're not really going, but who wants to go inside of Tadas' head and discover, find out the plot that he is plotting, the trouble that he is troubling. Okay, forget about it. I don't want to go into Tadas' head. Let's go now with Tadas. And he's going now to the fifth floor. After he finishes his fishy, he's got something really fishy planned, fishier than the fish that he ate. He goes to visit Sara Marici on the fifth floor. And he says, Sara, now on the way, of course, he got the mail. On the way, he got the mail. The servant brings him the mail. The mailman came. Oh, here's a letter. Oh, nice letter. A letter from the cardinal. Now the cardinal, whatever galach Tadas is, the cardinal is a bigger galach. The cardinal sends a letter to Tadas. Dear Tadas, next week, on Wednesday, I come to Prague. I visit you. Of course, you make me nice lunch, give me plenty of honor. We sit down together, talk. I come to Prague next Wednesday. See you then. Bye-bye. This is the letter from the cardinal, whatever his name was. Shh. And Tadas gets so excited. Oh, perfect. Now he takes the letter together with his plan and he goes to visit Sara Marici on the fifth floor. And she's sitting there staring out the window. She has been completely brainwashed. She can't think for herself anymore, unfortunately. She does not have a strong mind to begin with, unfortunately. And Tadas comes in. He says, Sarah? My name is not Sarah, it's Sara. Ah, I call you Sarah. You know, I have a good idea, in fact. Get rid of that Jewish name. Think of a better name. What about Stephanie or Samantha or Sally or something like that? Well, wouldn't that be a nicer name for you? No. My name is Sarah. Well, okay, I'll call you Sarah. But you should consider a new name, like, you know, Stephanie or Samantha. But okay, we'll call you Sarah. That's good enough. Next week, the cardinal is coming for lunch. That will be the day that you will join the Green Church and give up your Yiddishkeit, because whenever the cardinal comes, if there's anybody staying in this room, they come into the special room downstairs and we sprinkle them, we do all kinds of things, whatever we do, and you will become, on that day, next Wednesday, your lucky day, you will become a goy. Isn't that wonderful, Sarah? Not really. Well, what's wrong with you? Okay, now look, we have to prepare you. You have to get ready for that special day. Now, this is what is going to happen. Shh! The cardinal will sit right down next to you, and you'll sit on a special chair next to him, and he's going to ask you questions. The question he's going to ask you, the main one is, he's going to say, Sarah, why is it that you are not anymore going to be a Jew and you want to become a part part of college? What are you going to say, Sarah?
I'm not really sure.
What should I say, Titus?
Oh, Titus says, I'll teach you exactly what to say.
I cannot laugh. Who has a tape recorder in this room? Anybody has a tape recorder? Does anybody own a tape recorder? Who has a tape recorder in their house? Alright. Now, did you ever hear a person speaking out of a tape recorder on a tape? Now, what words are going to come out of a tape recorder? You know what words are going to come out of a tape recorder? Whatever is on the tape, exactly those words are going to come out of a tape recorder. Isn't that right? Let's say there's different words on a different tape. Which words are going to come out of the tape recorder? Whatever words are on that tape. Who has a computer? Anybody have a computer? What's going to come out of the computer? You know what? Whatever you program into the computer, that's what's going to come out. Okay. Titus is now taking a blank tape. He is going to speak on the blank tape. And Sara Marici is going to be his tape recorder. He is going to teach her exactly what to say, just like putting a tape in a tape recorder. Just like programming a computer. And he taught her what to say. Akinolach, I will not tell you what he taught her. You're going to hear it when she tells the cardinal. You're going to find out what she learn to say word for word from Titus. Okay, Titus now teaches her what to say. Okay, Sarah, this is what you're going to say. And he starts to speak to her. Each day, Titus went into her room and repeated the same thing. Okay, Sarah, learn this by memory. Repeat after me exactly what you're going to say. Until finally it came Tuesday. Which day is the cardinal coming to Prague? Wednesday. Titus goes to Sarah. Okay, can you repeat what you're supposed to say tomorrow when you get the question? And she did perfectly, just like a tape recorder. Her eyes are looking out into space and she's speaking words. Are they Sarah's words or Titus's words? Titus's words, just like a perfect tape. She's playing, but she's speaking, but it's Titus's words. It comes now Wednesday, and the wagon comes down the road, and it's the big cardinal dressed in his cardinal gala uniform, and he comes in to Titus. And Titus tells him the good news. He caught someone in his trap. Her name is Sarah Marici. Okay, bring her in. They bring her in. And we won't go into whatever they do over there. But the cardinal says, Sarah, let me ask you, this is my custom at every conversion. I would like to find out, why is it that you do not want anymore to be a Jew and you want to be a Goy? Please tell me, what is making you to do this? I'm very interested to find out. Maybe it will help me to understand why a Jew might want to go away from the Judaism to become a Goy. After all, you don't find it very much at all. Very, very rarely do you find a Jew, especially a young lady like you, who all of a sudden comes to the church and says she wants to become a Goy. So why are you doing this? And Kinelach, all of a sudden, Sarah Marici had this glazed look on her face, like she's just going to now go into a different world And now she's not speaking. It's like a voice that's speaking in her. You know whose voice is speaking in her? The voice of Tardis. She's not using her own mind. So she's putting on a tape. And she's playing the tape. How? Tardis brainwashed her. You know what brainwashing is? Where somebody gets you to think like they want you to think. Not necessarily is good for you. It's good for them, but they want you to do what they want you to do. Now, a mommy and Tapi want the king of love to do what the mommy and Tapi want, but it's not because it's for the mommy and the Tapi, it's that's what's best for the child. Does Hashem want us to do what Hashem wants him to do? Of course. But why? Because only it's good for Hashem, or is the best for us? It's the best for us. Whatever is the best for Hashem, that's the best for us. He means it for our own good. The brainwashing is a little bit different. It's not necessarily for your own good. It's for the good of the person that wants you to do what they want. And Sarah says, Cardinal, I'll tell you why I don't want to be a Jew anymore, and I want to become a Goy. And she starts to speak. She says, well, when I was a little girl, I loved to be a Jew. I lit the candles for Shabbos and Yom Tov, and I loved the holidays and all the delicious food, and the singing by the table, and the guests. And I loved to help my mother in the kitchen, and I loved my brothers and sisters and my yeshiva, and to learn Torah and to do mitzvahs. It was all very wonderful. But as I got older, something happened to make me see that it wasn't so wonderful. The cardinal says, go on, Sarah. Okay, cardinal. Of course, Tardis is sitting there looking at each one as Sarah's talking, looks at her face, and she looks at the cardinal, and he smiles at the cardinal, is like drinking up every word, like a cat drinking milk. Well, cardinal, my favorite holiday used to be Pesach, or you would call it Passover. And the cardinal says, you mean with all the work that Jews do for Passover, it was your favorite holiday? Well, cardinal, yes, it was a lot of work, but once Passover came, I used to love it so much, especially the Seder. The whole family would sit by the table, and we had our beautiful Yom Tov clothes and our most beautiful dishes, and the whole family was so happy together, and the house was so clean. And of course, we would drink the wine, and we would eat the matzahs. Oh, I used to love the matzahs. They were so delicious. But it just happened, this last Passover, not long ago, I found out the secret of the matzahs, why they were so delicious. The cardinal says, you mean there's a secret in those matzahs? I thought they were just flour and water. Oh, I thought so too. And I would go to the matzah bakery, and sometimes I would watch them bake the matzah, but I didn't know about the secret room. I only knew about what they showed me, but not the secret room. The cardinal says, what secret room are you talking about, Sarah? Well, Sarah says, they used to teach us in the yeshiva that there was two rooms in the matzah bakery where they would have the things to make the matzah. The room of the flour and the room of the water. And they would have the flour in one room and the water in the other room, and then they would mix it together in the bowl to make matzah. Two things. But we did not know about the secret room, where they really made the matzah taste good. That's what gave the matzah the good taste. The cardinal says, go on, Sarah, talk. Well, I never knew it until I found out this year. There also is the room of the blood, where they put the blood in the matzah. What?
what are you talking about? And of course, Tadus is looking on with that funny look in his face. Yeah, now Sarah is really going to say, hey, good things to the cardinal. Oh boy, he's going to make a lot of trouble. Well, cardinal, in the Matzah Bakery is a secret room that nobody could see from the outside. And very quickly, they pour a little bit of blood into the matzahs. Boys, is this true? I mean, some boys are looking at me like this is true. I mean, is this true?
No.
This is a bubble mice that Tavis himself now is making a bubble mice. Teaching the razor, this is not true. Cardinal says, how do you know there's a room of blood? Cardinal, I'll tell you what I saw happen in my father's house before Passover this year. Now Thomas is getting really excited because this is the main part that I didn't tell you, but I said I'd tell you now. One night there was a knock on the door. I happened to be in the room, so I saw what happened. Our servant entered the door and let in two men. One man was an old man with a gray beard, and he was kind of thin, but he was pretty old. Another man was a young man with a short black beard. This man didn't speak at all. He only made with his hands. My father asked the servant to bring them in the room that my father was in, and I was also there. And my father said, oh, it's so good to see you. Avim Chaim and Yossel, come right in. And Avim Chaim shook my father's name. Avim Chaim shook my father's hand. And Yossel shook my father's hand, but he couldn't say anything because he couldn't speak. And the cardinal says, do you know who these two men are? Oh yes, they are the helpers of our rabbi. His name is the Maharal of Prague. Avim Chaim and Yossel, they're his helpers. They call them shamashim. They take care of all kinds of things for the Rav of Prague, the Maharal. Well, Avim Chaim had a box in his hand. And he said to my father, here is the blood for the matzahs for this year, that when you go to the matzah bakery, that they should bake your special matzahs, you'll give them this jar of blood. And my father got very excited, and he opened up the box, and he looked inside to make sure that he had the blood. And I saw myself, it was a jar with red stuff. It looked like ketchup. It must have been blood. And then my father took out a lot of money and he paid it to Avim Chaim, the servant, the helper of the Maharal. And they shook hands. And my father said, thank you. Now we're going to have really delicious matzahs for Pesach. Now, is all of this true, or is this made up by Tadus in order to make trouble? As we know, Tadus is making a plan to get Reb Avim Chaim and Yossel the Golem in trouble, and through them to get rid of them, and also to get the Maharal in trouble. And this is his plan as it's unfolding, as it's going now on. And Dr. Marici, my father, he asked Rav Avim Chaim, tell me something, where did you get the blood? And I heard Avim Chaim whispering in my father's ear something, and my father was nodding his head. And then my father said, what are we going to do when the winter comes? We're going to be cold. We no longer have that girl to light up our ovens to make it warm. We have her blood, but we don't have her anymore. And the Avim Chaim winked at my father and he said, don't worry, Hashem will give us another kapara this year to light up our ovens. But the one for last year, we don't know, we don't need her anymore to light our ovens. The winter is gone. We have her blood for our matzes. And the cardinal says, so who is this that they're talking about? And Sara Marici said, well, everyone knows that a young girl, a Christian girl, who used to work for a Jewish family, disappeared sometime between Purim and Pesach, and nobody knows where she went. Well, it seems, also she used to light the ovens on Shabbos in the Jewish homes, and the shuls, and make the places warm. And Avraham Chaim said to my father, don't worry, this coming winter we'll have another kapara. The cardinal says, what's a kapara? Well, a kapara, like you take a chicken before Yom Kippur, and you wave it over your head, and you go and shecht it, and that's it, finished. Oh, the cardinal says, I understand. This young lady who used to work for a family who disappeared, and everybody thought she ran away, and she used to light the ovens, you mean? Oh yes, Stalin says, the Jews killed her to get her blood to use for the matzahs. Well, it came time for Pesach, and I couldn't forget that night what happened with the blood. And when it came time to eat the matzah, I looked at it, and I couldn't eat it. I said, oh, it's yucky. And everybody was eating the matzahs, and the men were leaning, and the women were eating, and everybody was having such a good time, delicious matzahs. And I said to myself, I can't eat that matzah if it has that girl's blood in it. It's going to be yucky. So, Cardinal, I went to my room, and I said I had a stomach ache. And I said, I'll come down maybe later, but I got a stomach ache, I got sick. And then I decided I didn't want to be around anymore, not for the first Seder, and not for the second Seder. So, I climbed out my window, and I ran away to a place I knew I wouldn't have to eat those matzahs. I came to the Big Green Church, to Tadus, and he's been taking care of me. And Tadus got up after he heard this, and he says, ooh, this is terrible! Cardinal, this is terrible! This is a serious murder that the girl is telling us, and she was a witness to what happened with the blood. The Jews are saying the girl ran away. She has been killed for the matzahs. We have to call the chief of police and make a police report. The cardinal says, you mean this is the first you're hearing about this? And Tadus says, I don't know anything about this. I didn't ask the girl anything. I was happy she came to become a goy. And all of a sudden she's explaining to you why. I didn't ask her why. She was too afraid to tell me anyway. I tried to ask her once, she was too afraid. Now she likes you, you're a cardinal, I'm only a galah, and she's telling you everything. And Tadus says, we must notify the chief of police about this right away. Tadus sent his servant to the chief of police to come to the church. And the chief of police brought his officers that make police reports, and they wrote everything down. And now they say that they are going to have to make an arrest of Avraham Chaim, the servant of the Maharal, and the other servant of the Maharal, who they call Yossel. And they're going to have to question him in the police station. And the cardinal said, I would like my own copy of the police report. I would like to have my own copy of the police report. And of course, in the police report, they wrote everything down that Sarah said. And the officers now took the police report to the police station. And the cardinal took his copy of the police report, and he went to his hotel, wherever he stayed. Now, the cardinal, it seems, did not believe this Babamaisa. The cardinal was suspicious and felt that this is a very strange Babamaisa.
On the other hand, Tadas got too excited about it and already made a police report and is going to the chief of police.
The cardinal called his servant and he said, take this copy of the police report to the house of the Maharal and show it to him. I cannot do anything about it, but I want the Maharal to see that a police report has been made against him and his two servants. And tell him the police took the report to the station just about an hour ago. The servant of the cardinal takes this police report to the home of the Maharal. All of a sudden, this gracious servant is bringing this police report. They give it to the Maharal. He reads it and he realizes that they're in very, very serious trouble. And it's interesting that the cardinal thought the whole thing was a Babamaisa, and he's sending a copy of the police report that the Maharal should do something before he gets himself in trouble. But this is what the story says. The Maharal knows that Avraham Chaim and the Golem are in very big danger at this point. This is what he did as a plan to be able to help the situation. He also realizes that all the Jews are in trouble as a result of this police report. I forgot to tell you one thing. Sarah asked the cardinal, please do not get my father in trouble for all of this because he really didn't do anything wrong. This is the custom of all Jews and they do it because they're afraid of the Maharal. Because if they don't listen to him, they're afraid he might do something terrible to them. So therefore, everybody does the same thing. So please, my father should not be in any trouble for what he did. I'm only telling you that you should know what happens. Okay, this is what the Maharal did in order to help the situation. Now you're listening, you need to talk quietly, you know we should get in trouble over here. The Maharal called some of his trusty men that he can trust with the job and he says, go to the end of the town where the homeless, poor people are over there. Now in every town, unfortunately, as we know in New York, there's some people walking around the streets that are just homeless, unfortunate kinds of beggar people. It's a very tragic, sad situation. But there is also in that part of Prague a place where the very poor homeless people or the bums or the hobos used to go over there and be there. And the Maharal says, find such a homeless kind of a bum that looks a little bit like the Golem, because this girl is not going to know exactly what Yosef the Golem looked like, even though she knows that he was kind of short and with a short black beard. Exactly what his face looks like, she's not going to know. So get somebody that also cannot talk, and he should look a little bit like Yosef the Golem with a short black beard, and bring him here as fast as you can. The men went now to the end of the town and they found somebody, a beggar kind of a person, that looked a little bit like the Golem, kind of short, kind of young, with a short black beard, and they brought him to the house, the home of the Maharal. Now, this person not only was mute, now the word mute means he can't talk, but he also, it seems, was deaf. In other words, deaf means you cannot hear. Some people can hear, but they can't talk. This person could not hear and could not talk. But in that way, he was the same as the girl, and he could not talk. And they bring him to the house of the Maharal. Now, he doesn't know why he's going. He just went along with them because they're bringing him. They figured out a way to bring him. The Maharal says, sit him down by the dining room table. They sit this bum down by the dining room table in the house of the Maharal. He doesn't know what's going on. All of a sudden, they bring him out. The Maharal had prepared, the cooks had prepared a delicious meal. they serve in front of them a delicious meal. Now this person had not seen a delicious meal like that, who knows, for how many years, or maybe his whole life. And all of a sudden he starts gobbling up a delicious meal. You can't believe this food. And they bring him more and more and they eat so much. Then the Maharal said, bring him a big bottle of strong mashke, strong whiskey. And it seems that this bum loved to drink whiskey, and he never had such good whiskey, and he drank up the whole bottle of whiskey. Okay. He starts falling asleep by the table because of all the food he ate, all the whiskey he drank. Now the Maharal says, okay, before he falls asleep, let's walk him over to the room of the Beis Din where the Golem sleeps, where the Yesod the Golem sleeps. And he used to sleep, not in the Maharal's house, but in the room of the Beis Din in the Shul, which is very near the Maharal's house. Okay.